vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26 with myself, Mo Rootsy, and alongside me, the two-time NBA championship winning coach, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, for the first time since 1973, the New York Knicks stand alone atop the NBA mountain as they have claimed a championship that many people did not think would be possible. They win game 5 on the road in San Antonio. So they won all of their games on the road in this series. How about that? To take down Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. Huge night from Jalen Brunson. Huge night from De'Aaron Fox for the Knicks. Huge night for Mitch Johnson for the Knicks. And the Knicks are champions.
I like the way you slid those in there. I'm really happy for them. You know, it's a team I rooted for growing up as a kid, and got to work for them for 5 years. And, you know, it's an incredible franchise. You know, the world's most famous arena truly is. And the New York fans deserve this. Like any sport, you have great fans. The fans are a big part of the team. And so, you know, they were a great team. The Knicks were a great team. They're not the best players in the league, but that has no bearing upon it. But they have the best team. So many things to talk about, as we will discuss on there. another time that they trailed again every single game.
By every game, double digits deficit, and they find a way.
It's amazing. And I think they led for something like, the other team led for 177 minutes and the Knicks led for 55 the whole series.
Yep.
And something like that, you know. So fantastic for them. Jalen Brunson, monster.
Absolute, you know, monster. 2 years ago, if someone said to you that De'Aaron Fox would be helping Mike Brown win a championship in 2 years, you would have thought it was the Sacramento Kings. But instead, it's De'Aaron Fox stinking up the place and handing the New York Knicks, coached by Mike Brown, the trophy. I love this for Mike Brown. I loved his post-game interview when they were lifting a trophy and he was singing "Who Let the Dogs Out." You know, he wasn't the first choice candidate, as you've said on this show, for the Knicks job, but he did a great job with it. I'm happy for Jalen Brunson. You got to remember, there was a time in the NBA when the Dallas Mavericks had Luka Doncic and Jalen Brunson together. Yep. If anyone had told you that Jalen Brunson would win a championship before Luka, they would have thought you were insane. Sure. He could have taken the easy option and been second fiddle to Luka. Instead, he bet on himself, went to New York. And then when he extended his contract in New York, he took a $100 million pay cut. Right now, I think that $100 million may be worth it for Mr. Brunson.
Yeah, I think Mr. Cuban also, he didn't use his Shark Tank skills, and then he offered him a 5-year deal for $55 million total.
Yep.
You know, so, but you know what? That just shows you this game, it's not an analytics game. I don't care what anyone says, it's about people. And you can't measure his head and heart.
And you can't measure his head.
It's just
he's
phenomenal.
Giant. He looks like a bobblehead.
Yeah.
Listen, I love Jalen Brunson because he is not an extraordinary athlete. And I say that in the sense of he's not super tall. He's not got crazy athleticism. He simply does the work. You know, we've all seen those videos of him training with his dad when he was a kid during the summer. And those are the same shots he's hitting in the NBA Finals. He's done it the hard way. So he has my full respect. Karl Anthony Towns, a player who was labeled as soft throughout his career. You know, I was thinking about Jimmy Butler in Minnesota and the things that he said to Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, and yet they both have rings now and Jimmy Butler still doesn't. It's funny how life turns out like that. OG Anunoby, the hero from the last game, my brother from the ends, he's a two-time champion now, but it's extra sweet for him because he didn't get to play in the finals for the Raptors and he was huge. He was arguably the best player across the series. I know Jalen Brunson stepped up with 45 points tonight, but OG throughout the series. And then you've got the Nova boys and Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, who did their thing. And then the bench mob, Shamet, Alvarado, Mitchell Robinson, McBride, Clarkson. All of these guys stepped up. As you said, they were a fantastic team. And I think that gets forgotten a lot in the NBA. Because I was having this conversation earlier today. I said, when you think about recent champions, last year you had Shea and the Thunder, and Shea's a Converse signature athlete. The year before, you had Jason Tatum, who's a Jordan brand signature athlete. The year before, you had Jokic, who's, I think it's like 361, the name of his brand, you know, who's a signature athlete there. Before that, you had, who was the champion the year before? Denver, 2023. I'm losing track of time. It's six in the morning. But do you get what I'm saying? Steph Curry with Under Armour, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, so on and so forth. The Knicks don't have a guy. Like, Jalen Brunson is a superstar now because he won a championship. But from a brand perspective, he's not in the same superstar tier. And the reason why I was thinking about that is everyone thinks you need superstars to win in the NBA. And this team has proven that you don't need a top five consensus player to win a championship. You need a great team who all buy in. Because think about this team. Brunson and Towns, they're two quote-unquote stars of this team, were labeled as bad defenders. And it was like, oh, we're going to get to the playoffs, so you're just going to be able to target Brunson and Towns in a pick and roll, and they'll be finished. And they proved everyone wrong, because their defense throughout this entire playoff run has been spectacular.
Yep. Yeah, I you know, and their coaching staff did a great job. And Mike Brown gets all the credit, but, you know, Rick Brunson, Brendan O'Connor, you know, I mean, they just did a really, really good job in the job that they did. And, you know, and they were incredibly prepared. They played the right way, as we often like to say. And I'm just really happy for them. A mature team won, a team that went through stuff the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it paid dividends for them. You have to go through that suffering, unfortunately, in this league. And the Spurs are going through it now.
And speaking of suffering, Sacramento Kings fans should be thrilled at this championship for the Knicks, because the wheels were put in motion by their GM, Scott Perry, when he was over in New York, traded for Josh Hart, drafted Mitchell Robinson, signed Jalen Brunson, drafted Miles McBride. So, you know, Scotty P's got some work. I guess the Kings are now only, what, like 10 years away from a championship. Let's talk about this game, though, because it was another thrilling game. As you said, another double-digit lead for the Spurs. And you really thought, watching it at home, the way they started the game, their defense was spectacular. Do you think, Coach, that the defensive intensity that they play with to start games, they always get out to these big leads to start games, and it's been obviously highlighted throughout the playoffs, but I've seen it in the regular season. They build up big leads, and then the leads kind of slip away a bit. In the regular season, they can hold on to those leads, but in the playoffs, where every possession matters so much more, do you think that expending so much of that defensive energy so early on in the game has been affecting them later in games?
No, it's their it's their lack of consistency offensively. You know, they don't run offense. They just come down and they play what we call five-out basketball. And I just don't think – I think it's really hard to win that way in this league. It really is. And, you know, you have to value every possession. And when you play that way, they took so many bad shots, unfortunately, for them. And all the way to the last shot of the game.
Mm-hmm. Like, when we talk about Karl-Anthony Towns becoming a facilitator for New York, it's not that Karl-Anthony Towns woke up one day and decided he wanted to get seven assists a night for the Knicks when the playoffs began against Atlanta. It's because they designed the offense so that Kat might be running a dribble handoff on one side of the floor, and on the other side of the floor, there's a pin down happening, and he can pick out which pass is correct. Every single possession for the San Antonio Spurs, every single one, Coach, if you go back and watch this game, was a one-action offense. It was a screen and roll, and if you can't find a look, you kind of pass, and someone tries to create something, and you pass, someone tries to create something. There was no structured offense that I saw from them. Then, you talk about the five out. Victor Wembanyama is 7'5". He does not touch the ball enough times around the hoop in one game for me to be satisfied with a 7'5" performance from Victor Wembanyama. The offense for the Spurs is really horrible. It's in this final series. It was really horrible. It was good throughout the playoffs, but in this final series, it was really horrible. And obviously, every round you advance, the games get more and more difficult. Teams have more and more time to prepare, so on and so forth. But it was a big problem. Tonight, Dylan Harper was the star of the show for San Antonio. He did everything he possibly could. I can't say enough good things about that young man. He is a star of the future. They have to move De'Aaron Fox. And I get what you say on the show about he got them to the finals and he was playing with an injury, so on and so forth. But I'm not even trying to disrespect De'Aaron Fox. Dylan Harper is just that good. He has to be your starting guard.
Oh, I'm not going to question. He is the second best player in the team.
Exactly.
In many ways, might be the best offensive player. I think it's going to be very hard to move Fox's contract. Not whether you want to. I don't see anyone wanting to take $51 million and that player.
Yeah, it's a $230 million extension, $240 million, depending on bonuses and stuff.
Why would you do that as a team?
Yeah.
Not in its first and second apron day. I think it's really hard to.
I think the Spurs lost this game yesterday where Mitch Johnson said, Fox is going to have that ball in his hands in the fourth quarter and we're going to live with it. Interesting to me, De'Aaron Fox and Mitch Johnson are both represented by Clutch Sports Group. I'm sure that has nothing to do with him wanting to insist to put Fox in the game, even when he's playing terribly. 3 of 15 from the field, 1 of 8 from three. He was awful. Steph Castle got benched in the fourth quarter for Fox, but at least Steph Castle gives you good defense. Fox will give you a gamble on a steal. That means he gets beat off the dribble and the rest of the team has to cover it up. Fox was the reason, if we're looking at just the players, he is the reason they lost this, because as a veteran player, even in tonight's game, when he pushed Josh Hart in the back, when Josh Hart was free to take a layup, what are you thinking? Right. That was a 5-point possession.
Yeah.
Because it was an and one on the layup, and then they inbounded the basketball, because the free throw is 2 to make 1. Inbound the basketball and Bridges scores. So it's a 5-point possession. And this is supposed to be your veteran. You brought this guy in to be the veteran of your team, and he's making worse mistakes than a rookie who's outplaying him off the bench. And he's playing more minutes than Dylan Harper, even though Dylan Harper is clearly a lot better. I can't believe how bad this contract extension looks, and it's not even kicked in yet.
Yeah, I think it's one that's it's a tough one. It's a tough one for them because it's easy to say you want to move someone, but it's not easy to move someone. And I'm telling you, in this day and age of contracts, mm-hmm. it's one thing if you had a player for that amount for 1 year, but when mm-hmm. you got a player for this many years,
mm-hmm. really and there's difficult. So many guards coming in the draft this year, and every team seems to have a point guard. There's no one who's like in desperate need of De'Aaron Fox.
That's what I'm saying. So I understand your point. But I would just have them compete and the better player wins.
Well, I think the better player has been proven on the highest stage of basketball. I don't think it's a competition anymore.
I'm not trying to coach someone else's team, but that's kind of where I'm at. You know, when you play 36 minutes and you're 3 for 15, you get 7 points, you get no free throw attempts. Mm. You know, the other guy, and I'm a big fan of his, the other guy that just had a nightmare was Castle tonight.
Yeah, he had a really rough offensive game tonight. Shot wasn't falling. His touch inside the paint wasn't falling.
Yeah.
It was really bad, but at least he brought the defense.
Yeah, but, you know, so when you're at home, you just can't, in big games like that, you know, you just can't have it, you know, those kind of games. And Wimby again, you know, he's taken so many threes and stuff.
1 of 6.
You know, the guy, Harper's the guy, though, 25 points, you know, just was phenomenal.
Absolutely. It's a tough finals for Mitch Johnson, who, bear in mind, it is his first proper playoff run as a head coach.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a learning experience for him as well. I'm not going to kill him how I would if it was a veteran coach, because there were a lot of mistakes made.
And the sixth man of the year, Keldon Johnson, had a very poor playoff.
So who's Keldon Johnson? I've not seen him during the finals. Keldon who? I don't know. I don't know about Keldon Johnson. He was terrible in the playoffs, in the finals. Having said that, the Knicks got nothing off their bench tonight. They got nothing from Karl-Anthony Towns, who was in foul trouble the whole night. He finished with 2 points. But Jalen Brunson, 45 points. There were stretches in this game where Brunson single-handedly would go on 10-0 runs by himself.
Yeah, I mean, the kid has just got an amazing heart. The man, he's just something else. And he really totally just carried him. And when you have a player like that, he brings everyone along with him. And, you know, Cat had a nightmare of a game. But Mitchell Robinson did what Mitchell Robinson does, offensive rebound, defense.
That was crucial at the end of the game, the offensive rebound he got.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, you're going to look back on this series and you're going to go, well, Spurs should have won the series. You're right, they should have.
Yep.
They should have won the series if they knew how to take care of the ball, take good shots in crucial times, really crucial times. They would have won the series. They really would have.
And coach, it goes back to what I said when they played Denver in regular season. I'm going to mention it again. They have no late game execution. They don't know what they're running. They've got no go-to sets. Even trying to generate a three-pointer in that final possession, but your season depends on it, and you can't get a good look. It was really terrible. You know, one thing I liked was Josh Hart, because they were daring him to shoot. He went 3 of 6 in the end.
Yeah.
Richard Jefferson on the broadcast dropped one of the hardest bars that I've ever heard. He said, "You can't make them guard you, but you can make them wish they had."
It's a good line.
That's a bar. Good line. Like, all right, cool. Josh Hart's going to just shoot the open threes. I feel bad because OG had such a great series, and tonight he was kind of disappointing on the offensive side of the basketball. So that finals MVP slipped through his hands, and Jalen Brunson, rightfully so, he got it because, you know, yeah, he's the one who stepped up and basically won this game single-handedly tonight.
Amazing, amazing performance. I, you know, when we talked about this series, you know, as we went, I thought the Knicks could do it in six. You know, we thought if the Spurs did it, they would do it in seven. And then with these insane late game wins, they took care of business in a way that I've never seen. And I think it might be one of a few times in history where a team has won all four series on elimination game.
I think it is. I've never seen anything like this.
The Spurs
lost every game the same way. Every game they have a double-digit lead, and every game they get walked out of it. It's honestly ridiculous. It is good fuel for the fire because, you know, like, Wembanyama's probably going to go back to the mountains with the monks or something in the summer and get it all sorted.
He needs to get a low post game.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. No, I mean, he needs to get back in with Hakeem.
He's got to get a game in the post area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's 22 and he's, you know, his strength will come and stuff in years. But, you know, he's learning a lot. So much is on his shoulders, to be honest with you. He's, you know, he's carrying the hopes of a city and a franchise.
Well, here's the thing. If you said before the season that the Spurs would be in the finals, everyone would think they've overachieved. It's just the way in which they lost the finals that's got everyone kind of slandering them. But Wemby, Castle, Harper, all under 22 or younger, like, we can't say they're going to be here again because you never know what happens in the NBA. We said about OKC in 2012. However, they have a solid nucleus for this franchise. I think they need to get a power forward. I think they need a proper power forward on this team. Champagne at the four. I look at Champagne more as a three than a four. Yeah. They need to get a proper power forward on this team. And they need to get Fox out of here. There was one possession that really annoyed me. There was one possession where Stephon Castle has got Jalen Brunson completely sealed in the paint, right? So it's easy post up and a score. De'Aaron Fox just looks him off and launches the ball to the other side of the court. And then Wemby gets the ball and tries to throw a pass all the way over the top back to Castle because he can see the obvious mismatch. And it's like, if Jalen Brunson is walking you down on offense, you need to make him work on every single defensive possession. You have a size advantage on every single defensive possession. You have to throw that look. And I don't want to do an episode of just anti-De'Aaron Fox propaganda, but I cannot believe what I saw from a max player who's supposed to be the veteran of the team, who has single-handedly, in my opinion, lost you this series.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. I know you want to defend him, coach, but I can't pass it up.
I've known the kid since high school, so I know him really well. He's a good kid.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a great guy.
He had a tough series. He had a tough series, and I'm not going to cover for him. It's just a tough series.
Yeah, because everyone else on the team, they've got the excuse. This is their first time in the playoffs. They're young. They're going to grow. But this is the guy who demanded out of Sacramento to go and attach himself to the Wemby wagon to try and, you know, play second fiddle. He ran from the lights, and ultimately the lights were too bright for him in the end anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. You're 100% right. There's so many things that, you know, you're going to look back on this summer. I think one of the biggest things San Antonio has to do now also is they're losing their lead assistant and their defensive coordinator because Sean Sweeney's going to the Orlando Magic as a head coach. And so, I mean, that's a big, because he was the person that Mitch and he would always talk. So Mitch has to go out and find someone that's really a top-notch guy to help.
I can think of someone who'd actually be perfect for that role. His name is Coach Brendan Sir. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's pretty tough defensive coach. I feel like the Spurs could do with some added toughness and some added defense.
I might. What do they call it? LinkedIn or something?
LinkedIn.
Indeed.
No, it's all right. You don't need to do any of that, coach. All you have to do is be on this podcast, and you'll get a job in the NBA. That's proven. So, you know, R.C. Buford, if you're listening.
If you're trying to get me the job, stop knocking Fox, all right?
Hey, listen. Get a job. I'm expecting to see Fox on the bench. Give him 15 minutes, sixth man role, until he gets traded. I don't care. Another steal from Mr. Rich Paul. Congratulations to Clutch Sports on assisting the Knicks in this championship. For the Knicks, I'm super, super happy for them. I'm super happy for their fan base because their fan base has suffered so much. There's so many Knicks fans that listen to this show. You've been the butt of jokes for years. You know, everyone's disrespected your franchise. Now you are champions of the world. And my international audience is going to get mad at me for saying the world. But I promise you, there's no other team in any other league that is going to come and beat the NBA champions. Let's just be real for a second, okay? They might win in a preseason friendly, but they ain't winning in a real game.
No, it is the world. It is the world. And, it is the world. And it's an incredible accomplishment for them. And I'm happy for them, as we talked about. And it is going to be wild in New York for a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's already riots right now. It's crazy. Yeah. I wish I was there.
It's the biggest city, of course, in America. And, you know, we don't know what the population is. There's a lot of folks there. That's all I know.
Yep.
And, the city is 8 million or so. But, you know, metropolitan area is like, 12, 15, between the tri-state area. So, but everyone in New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, everyone says they're from New York City.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah. Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. They're from New Jersey. Listen, coach, this has been a whirlwind of a season. For you guys who are worried, this is not our last show. We'll still be talking about the draft and free agency and stuff like that happens. But just talking about this season, the playoffs and the regular season, if your memory can stretch back that far, what have been some favorite moments of the season for you?
Well, a couple of things, Mo. One of the things I really enjoyed is something that we did this year was the interviews we had with so many people. I was texting with Isaiah Thomas earlier today, and it was so great to hear him. And he went on a rant yesterday on a podcast about analytics folks and stuff. And, he's so smart and, some of the people that we've had on, I just thought were really great. And, they helped educate our audience, which is what the show is for them. And so that was great. But the idea of twice a week being able to do a show with you who, has such a great pulse on the great UK audience and throughout Europe and the Middle East, wherever we're people all over, and the U.S. where people are listening to us. I mean, I was shocked that the people in the NBA and stuff that listened to this. I really was. So, I mean, that was fun. And it was really cool. And I just thought that the idea of, being able to give some insight to the fans on things that we knew were going on just is helpful because, as you've often said, we're really the only true NBA podcast there is in the world.
Facts.
I mean, in my opinion. There's people that touch the NBA. There's former players that do podcasts, but they're not breaking it down from a coaching and a broadcaster's view. They're former players that are just talking about things that are, or they're talking to former players about some BS, But I just really enjoyed it. Thank you for the opportunity.
No, thank you, coach, for joining the squad full time this season. We did a little bit in the playoffs last year, but to have you here twice a week and making time for us. And I speak on behalf of the audience where I say we want to thank you for sharing your knowledge with all of us.
Thank you,
keeping me humble just a little bit. Just a little bit.
That has become a full time job. I tell
you. Don't worry, coach.
I think we've become great friends, but what the listeners can appreciate a little bit is we have fun on our podcast, which is supposed to be entertaining.
Hell yeah.
But the conversations you and I have off air are if we ever aired those, it would be the best. It would be the best stuff. We might not be licensed to do it afterwards. We might not have a sponsor, but
Well, if the right sponsor wants a Hoop Genius unfiltered podcast, I promise you it'll be the best decision you ever make. So if anyone out there wants to set that up, you just let us know.
And NBA 2K, you represent them so well and stuff. And, you know, so they're the lucky recipients of your knowledge and stuff. So
we're blessed to have such great partners on this show. And, you know, for so long, NBA 2K was the only place where you could see a Knicks championship. How about that? Now you can see it in real life as well.
Growing up a Knicks fan, I remember 70 and 73 as a kid. Yeah.
Oh, you're one of the few, coach. You're one of the few.
Yeah, I know. But Shaq was 1 year old.
That's crazy.
When they won their last championship.
Crazy. It's crazy because there's like generations of people that have not seen the Knicks win. There's people who have kids and neither them nor their children have seen the Knicks win a championship until tonight.
Sure. No, I mean, none of these players.
Yep.
None of these players.
Yep. Some of these players weren't even born the last time the Knicks were in the finals, 1999.
Of course they weren't. None of them were. Well, in 99.
Yeah, sure. 99. Yeah.
None of the Spurs were.
Yeah, just De'Aaron Fox. That's why I'm so mad. Like, bro, come on. Oh, man. Listen, the NBA is about to get real crazy. A Giannis trade is on the horizon. The NBA draft is on the horizon. There is still a lot in store. There's going to be twists and turns. And the biggest thing is, now the championship is out of the way, everyone has to look to next year. How are we going to win a championship? So prepare to see some unexpected moves across the NBA this offseason.
Yeah, 29 teams that are going to try to get better.
Yep.
29 teams.
No, it's 30 better. Teams because the Knicks aren't going to be content with just standing pat. They're going to be, I don't know whether they're going to be looking at options.
I mean, but you know, when you are the best, you are trying to get better. You're absolutely right. But 29 teams are trying to beat the Knicks.
That's on their back now. Yeah. They've got a target on their back. It's going to be interesting, but we get a little break. This is going to be the last time until next season that I'm awake until sunrise. Although having said that, it probably won't because...
Last thing, Mo, before we go, I things are heating up. Things could happen. I think it'll happen this week. Give me your prediction of Giannis. He's definitely going to go.
There's a lot of smoke in the air around Boston.
Yep.
I'm not... The reason why I'm not really into that is whenever Boston have made moves before, you've not heard about them since Brad Stevens has been in charge. No one saw the Porzingis deal coming. No one saw the Jrue Holiday deal coming. No one saw these trades before they actually happened. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much of that is real smoke and how much of that is Milwaukee trying to raise the asking price for Giannis by pretending there's another team bidding. And then there's Miami rumors, of course. But I just don't know if there is a market for Giannis Antetokounmpo compared to what there would have been a year ago or 2 years ago.
It's not even the market. It's about where will he agree to re-sign.
Exactly.
And so basically, I believe right now the market is Miami and Boston.
I think he's going to be a Miami Heat player.
And I think he'll be a Boston player.
Do you think so?
And I think Jaylen Brown will go to Atlanta.
Oh, and a three-team deal.
Yes, and Atlanta will send some young guys up there and some draft choices.
Interesting. There was a talks on the Celtics, Milwaukee, and New Orleans doing some sort of three-way deal with Trey Murphy and Giannis ending up in Boston. But then I'm also hearing Trey Murphy might be on the way to the Pistons as well, which would be interesting.
I think I feeling, no knowledge. I think Trey Murphy will be traded. And because he's so good and so many people want him, and I think this could allow New Orleans to get way up in the draft.
Oof.
Way up in the draft.
Ooh.
Way up.
That's a hot take, coach. That's a hot take, I would love it.
I think he could go, you know, very, very high in a trade.
He's a very valuable player.
And a great kid. Incredible person.
So going back to Giannis, the one thing that does interest me is no one created more three-pointers in the NBA this season than Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I feel
what does that mean?
No one created more three-pointers for their teammates. So as in passes that led to three-pointers. Obviously, the assist numbers won't be as high because he's not passing to that good of a quality of players in Milwaukee. But the generation of the looks, because obviously he's so powerful driving to the hoop. I know that would be music to Joe Mazzulla's ears. I don't know. As a Boston Celtics fan, I kind of like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum being together because the last time they were together healthy.
I think from what I'm hearing, they're committed to moving him out of there.
Well, because the last time Jaylen Brown was healthy, Jason Tatum was healthy with Jaylen Brown, they won the championship.
Things have changed.
That is devastating, but they got a championship out of it. I saw a quote today. I don't know if it was real or not, but someone posted on Instagram because I can't trust anything being real on the internet whatsoever.
I agree.
But it was like someone asked Jason Tatum about the Knicks winning a championship and he said, I've already won one, so I can sleep all right at night. I don't know if that was real or not. I'm looking forward to a healthy Jason Tatum next season and seeing him back at his best.
I'm nervous about him, though, because I didn't think he was healthy yet when he came back.
Yeah, but
All the way.
He gets an extended offseason because he's usually in the conference finals or finals. So he finally gets a long offseason, and Jaylen Brown's out in China doing his promotional tour for his sneakers. But it's going to be interesting. If Giannis does join the Celtics, how do you rank the East next season super early? Do you see them then as favorites?
No.
You got the Knicks?
Probably.
Yeah?
Probably.
And then the Cavs have got to make some moves as well. They can't just run it back.
But they won't be able to surpass, the Knicks. I think Detroit's the team that has... I think Detroit's committed to doing some things to get stronger. That's the team, I think, that knows they don't have enough firepower around their two all-pro players.
Yeah, and then Detroit are going to be better next season. Orlando are going to be better next season. Atlanta are going to be better next season. There's going to be some good teams.
I think Orlando is a team that has to make some moves.
Oh, yeah.
And they're my sleeper for Giannis.
Mm.
Because they have some players that they could trade that are young.
Oh, I'll trade Paolo. I'll trade Paolo for Giannis in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think it could be, I don't know what they want, but I think it would probably be Franz Wagner and Black. You know, that's a guess, and picks. But I don't know if Orlando has any picks left.
Interesting. To be honest. Yeah.
I don't know if they have any draft capital. So. But I'm hearing there's a lot of things going there. But he's got to decide he will play in those cities.
Yeah.
And I think he's focused on those two that we mentioned earlier, Boston, Miami.
Wow. That will be something. And we'll be here to break it down whenever it does happen.
And it will definitely happen before the draft, I believe.
Okay. Let's forget Shams. We've got Coach Sir. How about that?
Yeah. I'm talking Shams.
Shout out to Dylan Jones, back-to-back NBA champions. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Dylan Jones. He wasn't even dressed in the uniform tonight, but he is now a two-time championship in his two seasons in the NBA. So shout out to him. Coach, before we get out of here, any closing thoughts that you have for us and for the listeners?
I just think it's great for friends in the UK that you have a show like this where Mo can share his insights with you. I think it's really incredible.
Too kind.
And also, I don't know of anyone... anywhere in the world that works harder than you. I mean, and you're committed to our fans. And so shout out to you, brother.
Hey, Coach, how can I
sleep? You got a Knicks mentality of a hardworking guy.
Do you know what I say? I say, how can I sleep when the whole world's still sleeping on me? We go again. One interesting thing that I've just seen now, Devin Vassell doing his post-game interview. He said that Dylan Harper was upset about his playing time and his role all season long. So
he said that?
He said, I think we all knew he was talented. I don't know if anyone knew he was this talented beside himself. He was upset with playing time and different roles that he was in, but when we needed him most, he stepped up. That is the quote from Devin Vassell.
Wow.
So, and also on TikTok the other day, he reposted some De'Aaron Fox slander. So I don't know if he was on the wrong account or whatever, but yeah.
Interesting.
That's going to be an interesting offseason for San Antonio. We'll see if anyone wants to acquire De'Aaron Fox. But we'll keep you updated. We'll be here. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. I want to thank every single one of our listeners, whether you just came for the finals, whether you've been here all season, whether you've been here for the last five seasons. We do this show for you. I do not sleep for you. And I don't expect anything in return. I do this for the love of the game, because I know as an NBA fan how bullshit the content and coverage of the league is from a lot of places. So I want to give, you know, a place where we can speak to experts like Coach Sir and all the guests that we've had on to provide you with real insight and analysis of this league. All I do ask is if you can subscribe wherever you're listening and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us. And until next time, there's only one thing left to do. Get buckets.